Guys, this is Joe just popping in to ask if you've signed up for your free marketing consultation with MDT Marketing yet. If you haven't, head to mdtmarketing.com/edup, submit your information, get your free consultation today. Don't do it alone. Find the right partner. Welcome back to America's leading higher education podcast, the EdUp Experience, where we make education your business. Hosted by Dr. Joe Sallustio and Elizabeth Leiba, produced by Elvin Freites, the EdUp Experience brings you the brightest and most influential minds from across the globe via the EdUp Experience podcast. Get ready, get set, let's go. If you're experiencing any level of marketing challenge right now, you've got to ask the hard questions and you need answers. Are you using the right mix of channels to get in front of your future students? Is your messaging personalized and delivered in a medium your audience and future students will respond to? And are you spending more time building reporting than listening in on what your students really want? All of these questions will get answered when you sign up for your free consultation with MDT Marketing. Head to mdtmarketing.com/edup, submit your information, and talk to MDT. Don't go it alone. Find the right partner. The guys at MDT, the team at MDT is absolutely amazing. Whether your challenge is the cost of inquiries, your melt, your branding, the bad and incomplete information that come with your inquiries, whatever it is, an audit of your challenges will help your institution, and it's free. mdtmarketing.com/edup. Welcome back, everybody. This is the EdUp Experience podcast, where we make education your business. Dr. Joe Sallustio here, back with another EdUp Embedded episode. And I gotta tell you, I got a special guest with me today for many reasons. She is a great friend, a great leader, and again, my boss. And she's here again with us, and her name is Dr. Lynn Priddy. She is president of Claremont Lincoln University. Lynn, how are you?
I am great, Joe. I'm so glad to know that I'm your boss.
Yes, that was the third on the list of things I said you were, though.
I know, that's great. And you know, I see you as colleague, my right-hand person. We make change happen. We are the Changemaker University, and you're a big part of it.
Well, it's like what a segue. It's almost like you've done this before. In fact, for our listeners that have come into the EdUp Experience universe more recently, you may not know that way, way, way back in the day, a long time ago, Lynn guest hosted for us. She was our first ever guest host that we brought on with, it was the president emeritus of Norwich University, I think, if I remember right. That was a long time ago, Lynn, but you were the first.
That's great. I like being first. I like to help others be first even more.
Well, speaking of which, the reason I'm here with you today on this EdUp Embedded episode, where I like to say we have an EdUp exclusive, and I said, I'll be damned if somebody's going to scoop this story before I get to talk about it here at Claremont Lincoln University. As you all know, that I work here at Claremont Lincoln. Lynn, as the president and our esteemed board of directors had approved a tuition reset, okay, which is so monumental in this day and age of increased competition, institutions in financial trouble, student demographic changes, enrollment declines. And, you know, one of the things that college and university administrators always talk about is, what's our tuition? Should we discount it? Do we need to reprice that? And a lot of times it's tuition resetting is one of those things that you talk about, it never happens. But Lynn, you did it. You did it and the board did it. You reset CLU's tuition within the marketplace to something that was more reasonable, let's put it that way. Can you talk about this process? How does a tuition reset come up in conversation? What has to be discussed? How do you imagine doing it? Who do you include? How does it come to pass? And you know, because there's so many unintended consequences of doing something like that. Can you just talk about how the whole thing unfolded?
Sure. And just to give folks a context, we're a graduate-only institution. We're focused on socially conscious education, and our programs are really about building a new leadership ecosystem and a different and urgently needed type of leader. And so if we're going to aspire to do that with our students, we should challenge ourselves to be that as an institution. And so the discussion really began by listening to our students, by conducting a market study, but really changing the question and the conversation. And for anyone who's been involved in higher education, you know it's always about, as you said, Joe, the discounting, the scholarshiping, the how do we set it, when do we increase it, the revenue, the net revenue, it, nonprofit, but yet we have to run the business. And gee, when things get tight, the conversation shifts to cost cutting and then enrollment and then cost cutting and then meeting the budget. And rarely do you stop, because you're always talking about financial strategy and being a good steward of the institution. Boards have to be financial stewards. But the conversation began to shift to what's right for the student right now to make a difference so that we can actually achieve this vision of new leaders in a new ecosystem that are mindful and collaborative about what higher education needs to become for the majority of working adults. And so it was shifting the conversation about what's the right ethical thing to do in COVID to really consider access and to really consider what our students were telling us, and what, and everyone out there, I'm sure everyone out there has heard, students are, you're experiencing, students, employers, your B2B partners, they're all extremely price sensitive. It's just not, oh, okay, it's $75,000 for the degree, I guess that's what it costs. No, they're very savvy. They're shopping, they're looking, they want to know, okay, so if I plunk down $20,000, is the ROI 25? Is the, I mean, just think of all of the education that has occurred with students and financial aid and their pocketbook. And in COVID, you know, it's a generation that we've all woken up to, oh my goodness, we need to live better, not just work better. And living better means being very conscious of where I'm spending my money, my time. And it's not just go with the flow of what the higher ed world wants, it's what's going to impact my life. So it's asking the right questions again. So how it unfolded, we started asking the right questions and we took a look at what our students needed. We took a look at what CLU espouses in its mission and vision. And in talking with the board chair and then in talking with our partner organization, the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy, and then most importantly, in talking with our advisory councils who are working adults themselves in the public sector, nonprofit sector. And the message was really clear. Higher ed just can't charge what it wants to charge. It's got to consider the profession and the career. So really, once the question was shifted, what's the right thing to do? What matters to make a difference? How should higher education be thinking about the future? It was a very fast decision on the board. It was no more. It was executive session. It was no more than 10 minutes of, you want to reset the tuition back $150 a credit hour and ensure every degree is under $20,000. Boom, done. Tell us now the next strategy so that we really continue to be able to, and here's the difference. Folks, sorry, Joe, I'm just running on, but the difference, the real difference is I just, for all my years in higher ed, it was, the conversation was always about the spiral of making ends meet, as opposed to an investment in what the community needs and what our students are working toward and how to make that positive social change difference. And this is the first place where the board actually said, okay, now we've cut tuition. What additional money do you need? What additional resources do you need to invest to really do this right?
Right, because you've got a value proposition change, right? Where whether there, it's perception of the public that looks at this and says, oh, wow, that made it just in reach for me when it might have been out of reach before. And so now you want to bring our education at Claremont Lincoln to as many students as possible. And that does take an investment. You can't cut your way to profitability, right, Lynn?
Right, but see that usually we all say that. We all say we should lower tuition. We all cut because, and you cannot fault boards. I just have to cherish this board and the leadership of Catherine Jo Lincoln, Katie Lincoln, because, and of George Mac McCarthy, president and CEO of the Lincoln Institute, and you, Joe, and the senior team, because all of us just really suddenly had these aha moments and said, okay, we all say you can't cut to prosperity, but the most logical thing to do is if you cut tuition, now you have to cut costs because you have less revenue and you don't have the mass or volume yet, right? But no, very foresightful. And so that's why we went in with the whole strategic planning cycle around now, where do we invest? And then the third question was, how do we also innovate and create together a very different prototype for higher ed that allows lowered tuition, deep investment, and a very different model of delivery to working adults that brings the education to them. Now, we've done that, but we're trying to figure that out a little bit differently. That'll have to be for another podcast. But we did reset tuition once the question was asked, and we shifted the dialogue. It was very easy. Reset the tuition lower, invest and add more resources to increase the quality, the access, and the service.
The key point in here, Lynn, I want to pull out is the hypersensitivity of the buying habits of the consumer right now. And to your point, hypersensitive about cost, not just because of how much it costs, but because we have people, potential students, that are completely reevaluating what their life trajectory is going to be like now, where a year ago, maybe they were thinking about higher ed, and a year goes by through coronavirus and they're starting to go, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? Because maybe I had a family member pass away or I had something happen. And we have these people and we've had these conversations with students and we're talking to them about education and they're talking about how short life is. And in this situation has brought in an incredible perspective for people. And that has made them very intentional about their choices. It's not like you're just bringing education to a student anymore. It's, they're really thought provoking, going through a thought process to really select. And they're selecting based on a list of criteria. And one of those criteria, as you know, Lynn, is how much is it and what is it going to give me in the end? Tuition discounting is a very sticky business because it's hard to keep track of. It's very easy to discount. Yeah, it's like, you know, oh, it's a $74,000 program, $75,000 program. Look at us. We're so great. We have an expensive program. But when you actually look into the financials and it's being discounted at 60%, it creates this allure in higher education that there's an elitism that's built in and it's based on price and price somehow equates to quality. I will tell you, and Lynn, you can back me on this because you know it to be true as I do, the quality by and large depends on the faculty teaching the content. The content is sometimes the same. You know, you get programs approved through accreditors and the content is here and there, but it's the faculty you have that really bring it to life. So you take all those factors together, market position, price sensitivity, life changes, and instead of getting in a sticky business of tuition and discounting, we just said, we're going to price it for what our current and potential future students said they felt they would pay for an education, right?
We did. Now, one thing I'm going to differ with you there, Joe, one of the things that does set Claremont Lincoln University apart in terms of its curricula is, again, this focus on a different type of leader as change maker. And hence the curricula is different in the, you know, there is classically, there's the right content, but I'm even questioning that. Because as you say, students are beginning to look, working adults are looking at the new models popping up from outside higher ed. They're beginning to see that, gee, you know, I'm going to have to learn new things throughout my entire life. Why would I invest and have $150,000 debt in a baccalaureate that I will quickly be 10 years away from and need to start over again? Is there a different model? That's what we're going to have to figure out in higher ed. It's a little bit off our topic, but just had to throw that in there.
Yeah, and there wouldn't be a quality podcast, Lynn, or a regular discussion between two of us if you didn't disagree with me at some point. I mean, that's just basic.
True. Yeah,
that's
we basic, just have to do it.
But no, to your point, you know, when you look at a master's in human resources at this institution or that institution, by and large, the content is similar. Now, to your point, built in within mission, within foundationally, you can offer certain skill sets that prepare leaders for the future that another program may not offer. That's the nuances of looking at the program that students are getting a lot smarter about. Why? Because the employers are beginning to require these 21st century leadership skills that students are lacking, right? So our advisory boards came to us and said, we need better leaders. We need leaders that know these skills, that have these skills, and that can afford the education. Maybe they're working in a good career, but that career isn't paying them hundreds of thousands of dollars that they can go off to any university in the country. They need something that's for adult students, priced affordably, and gets them the skills to take on leadership roles.
Exactly. And on top of that, when you bring it back to a board or a decision-making perspective, I want to call out what you said even just a little bit earlier, because I am the academic and I love that you said that it really comes down to how the faculty delivers the content. And so therefore, to go back to one of the other points, if you want people to be leaders and you're trying to lead a higher ed education institution, where does your investment need to be? And right now, lots of people would answer technology, talent development. They'll answer all sorts of things. And very few institutions will say, we need to invest in more full-time or solid working professional faculty. And that's where we're going with that, because it's exactly what you said. In order for us to roll back the tuition and to invest, we have to know where we will make the most significant impact in that investment. And it will be with the right curricula and the right faculty delivering that curricula so that the working adults actually can become the leaders we hope they will be. Otherwise, we'll have the canned curricula and I wouldn't be here. I'm not into kid. I want to create the next prototype. That's what we're doing. So it's very, so look for more changes to come. I hope it will allow us to even lower the tuition more.
Are you using the right mix of channels to get in front of your audience? Is your messaging personalized and delivered in a medium your audience responds to? Are you spending more time building reports than listening in on what your audience wants? These are not easy questions to answer. That's why our great friends at MDT Marketing are offering a free audit of your marketing efforts. Head to www.mdtmarketing.com/edup and submit your information for your free consultation today. Look, guys, you got nothing to lose. It's free. I don't know why you wouldn't want a free audit to tell you what you're doing, whether it's effective, and how you can make some incremental changes that can make a big difference moving forward. That's www.mdtmarketing.com/edup.
How do you operationalize a tuition reset, Lynn? I mean, you're going to have, I think leaders from every level that go, okay, wait a second. How do you even do that? What are the considerations that were discussed? You know, who was affected? Who needed to do more work, less work? Can you take me just through a couple of those considerations? What did you think about as we got ready to reset the tuition? Oh, we need to do this.
So yes, and oftentimes, well, frankly, Joe, just like I've quickly walked myself into the president role of just saying, well, let's just do it. And so, of course, you know, the board did this on August 6th. Yeah, August 6th, and our virtual graduation was August 7th. And I wanted it done in time for the August term start, which was August 28th or something. Mm-hmm. And then I wisely called you and the rest of the senior team and said, what's it going to take? So of course, what does it take? It takes repackaging all the students and financial aid. I mean, that the first thing is you have to come up with a communication strategy, and the communication strategy to students, to staff, to the public, to via the web page, all the social media feeds. We had to you have to make sure your regulators know that you know the feds are on board. It causes a change in the e-app. I mean, there's all these levels of the classic compliance and bureaucratic side of higher education that you needed to do all that. Now, not hard to call a student and say, gee, we're going to save you $4,000. But still, all of the students had to be called or contacted individually. All of them had to have their particular, all the financial systems rebooked. Think of all of the flyers, the brochures, the web pages. Think of all of those particular changes. Then, of course, we had to rethink any other discounts, specials, or other MOUs we had out there too, because is it still true that if we roll back tuition $150 a credit hour, that we're still going to take 20% off of that, or 10 or 15 or whatever it is, off that new price for all of our MOU folks? And so you have to make all those decisions along the way. And that's what folks like my fabulous senior team members led by you do, Joe, and you made it happen.
Well, you know, there's so many considerations when you do something like this. It's scary. You know, it's scary for no matter how many students your institution has, even a positive change where you're positioning yourself rightly in the market. It's a ton of work to do something like that, but it is good work to do. And Lynn, it all started with you, the communication to students, right? You said it right. The first thing is a really transparent and robust communication strategy to current students, to alumni, to the board, to all of the administrators, to our business partners, all simultaneously, so that when we're executing down from that communication pathway, everybody kind of knows about it. Everybody's heard about it, knows it's coming, someone's going to contact you. And so communication becomes an integral part of this. But I think it's really the point I want to pick out here is there is a lot to do when you do a tuition reset. When you've decided this is the right thing for students, it's still a lot. A lot of that falls on the financial aid department. As we know, they've cost of attendance changes. You got to repackage every student, got to repackage your incoming students, and so on and so on and so on. But it's all worth it in the end. Can you talk, Lynn, about some of the feedback you heard from faculty, from staff, from students when the tuition increase was officially released?
You know, I was not surprised, but it was still joyful, just heartwarming to immediately get probably three or four dozen emails within 24 hours from students. And you know students though too, Joe. I had at least three students who said, so since you reset the can you reset it backwards?
All the way back to when I started.
Yeah, can you reset it so that, and you know, and you answer each of those individually. And so, but no, the feedback from students was predominantly, thank you for listening. And that's the message I appreciated most, because we did all the focus groups with the students.
And a huge market study.
Right. And I didn't believe that price really was such a factor. I kept thinking we're already so inexpensive and with such high quality. And won't students be suspect if it rolls back? But it really was true. Price still came out. Price and ROI, return on investment, time to degree, all of those things. Will you take my transfer credits? All things we've been doing at CLU to really try to remold the typical systems around what the student experience, what the student really wants the experience to be. From faculty, I got, not quite as many responses, because I was able to, you know, that those responses went to Joanna and her team. And the response there was, wow, does this mean you're going to cut faculty? So
another consideration.
So to be able, so the assumption on the part of those in the biz is if you're lowering tuition, and most would just discount, right? And they don't really understand the discount. That's kind of out of the academic world. I never paid attention to it until provost and then now. And so their assumption absolutely was exactly what we said, the typical pattern. And so I was ready. And I said in the message, and at the same time, we are going to develop our new baccalaureate completion program, which means we're going to hire full-time faculty there. We're moving two other chair positions in place. We're going to add a new student services full-time support role so that we can truly be high touch. If we're going to do it right, it means you have to set the price right, and you've got to provide the right support for the students that we're trying to serve to be successful. And now we have to shift the whole delivery model again. It's still online, but there's a different design that's coming. And we're figuring that out, and we'll listen again. To our staff, it was like drinking four rock stars all at once. I'll say it that way.
Which you've done before.
No, I have never done that.
I'm not so sure. One time I may have seen you do that.
I'm sure it was. But that's okay. This is a free ad for my one addiction. Anyway, the response from staff was just this feeling of, well, yes. Yes, we're psyched. This is what we should have done. Oh, and then to say, oh, and by the way, we're increasing the investment in the 2022 and 2023 budget in academics this amount, and over in the enrollment and marketing this amount, and in operations and technology this amount, to couple it with a strategic plan that demonstrated. Thank you so much to our Katie Lincoln board chair, and also our backing of our partner, the Lincoln Institute for Land Policy, Lincoln Institute of Land Policy, it really was a phenomenal message of a combination of right price and deep investment. And where you see that, folks, is in the institutions that are now out there leading, and or the companies that are leading. They had bold, thoughtful board members and senior teams that said, let's break the pattern and let's do what we need to do for mission, vision, and our students. It's not possible for every institution. I don't know how you'd repackage a university, hence the patterns we get into. But there are times when you have to stop, and COVID and all the social unrest the past 18 months, if it didn't force you to stop and think about, how do I want to live? With whom do I want to spend my time? And what do I want to be and do? I think that was a shared experience across the globe. And I think it meant we had to really step back and look at where higher ed needs to go next.
I love that stopping. By the way, I'm stopping now to plug in my microphone, which I did not do at the beginning of this episode. So my audio is going to be terrible, but yours is going to be fantastic. Who cares what I have to say? We only care what you have to say. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about the tuition reset at Claremont Lincoln. I always want to leave a takeaway with people. And here's what I have to say about it. Tuition discounting is that it's sticky business where you have to turn your enrollment folks into a retail or timeshare salesman, where they're selling, oh, we'll give you this, but we'll cut this much off. And we'll give you this, and we'll cut that much off. And here's a scholarship to cut it to that. With a tuition reset, your entire ecosystem within the institution is selling and talking about the education again, because you can, and you don't have to worry about justifying it to somebody that's questioning the price. You believe where it's at, that it's priced right, and you can talk about the differentiation of the education itself rather than worrying about price comparisons, because that's what students are doing right now. They're comparing pricing. And so that's the conversation that you end up having instead of why this institution, why Claremont Lincoln, why your institution is the best for this student. You can really, really get excitement back in your institution if you've been lacking it. Don't you think, Lynn?
Absolutely, Joe. I completely agree. I would also add that I think, this is just a step. An investment is a step. And yet I think what all of us know is that just like this step did something to the entire higher education or our ecosystem. I think it is just a few steps. The next stage is really rethinking what is learning, how does it occur over the lifetime, how do we serve our working professionals with this great resignation that's going on and people shifting jobs, how do you support what they need to learn next to make a difference both in their communities, their lives, and in their careers? I think higher ed needs to listen and create a new type of learning. I don't quite know what that is yet. All I know is in all my years of trying to be innovative, we still innovated within the same landscape of higher ed. Novel, great, fabulous stuff, but still within the landscape of higher ed. Mm-hmm. I think we need, as Marcel Proust said, we need to have new eyes. Maybe the same landscape, we need to see it with very different eyes and retool it according to those eyes.
Well, you have enlightened us, Lynn, about the path toward a tuition reset and the impact that that has. I do want to just reiterate the shout outs to Catherine Jo Lincoln, a board chair of Claremont Lincoln University, George McCarthy, CEO of the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy, and Dr. Lynn Pretty, our guest today on a special EdUp Embedded episode, an EdUp exclusive, if you will. Lynn, thanks for joining us. Hey everyone, thanks for listening, and just wanted to remind you, if you have a few moments, head to Apple Podcast, give us a 5-star rating, write us a review, let us know what you think of the EdUp Experience podcast. We are going to continue to bring you the best and brightest and most influential minds in higher education and beyond. Thanks for listening, everyone.